Let us move forward and check on risks in outsourcing, right? So we've seen the risk template, if you remember, right, in the earlier chapters. So as is there in most of the engagements, you have risks in outsourcing as well. And it is important for you to understand what kind of risks are there, how they will be mitigated or addressed, or what the understanding is, right? So let us quickly touch upon the risk in outsourcing. As we've been mentioning, none of the engagement would be risk-free, right? And the risk comes out from the fact that it is something which is being done out of an understanding, right? Again, the earlier stuff in terms of assessment. You are assessing the vendor response, the feedback, and assuming that this would work well, right? It doesn't mean there won't be a risk, right? So what would be one of the biggest risks? It would be the threat to your normal workflow of the process, correct? So any disruption or this not being handled properly can hit the business process, right? And if this is not managed properly in the right manner, this can lead to financial losses or operational disruption. For sure, it can also get into regulatory issues and loss of reputation. But these need to be, I would say, understood, arrived at, highlighted, and mitigated, or an understanding reached on, right? So what are some of the risks in outsourcing? Maybe I think highlighted around 8 risks that can be I would say looked at. First one is loss of control, right? Very I would say generic and common for understanding. When you are outsourcing, right, you are outsourcing your particular process, right, you engage the service provider, you do a knowledge transition, right, service provider does a pilot, he starts managing that process, right, you probably have people who you've transitioned, or because you are into an engagement, you've done off with them. So what is happening is slowly the vendor is scaling up his operations and is delivering, right? This particular part of the engagement after go live, right, when the vendor scales up and is doing steady operations, now starts getting into a risk zone, right? What is happening is you have almost lost majority of the control on that process. And it is the vendor now who has control on that process. So if you, I would say, have not covered this aspect in terms of the operational understanding in the contract, the vendor may tomorrow, knowing that there is a 100% dependency on him to deliver and it links to the business, he can, if it's an unreasonable vendor, he can make unwanted demands, right? He can put up a change request saying, no, the cost of managing this is gone up, or it is not what I had anticipated. I had factored 10 guys, but I need to factor 30 guys to run this now, and it's costing me more. So these type of things also come up in the engagement, and it is very natural there. It's not that this stuff doesn't happen. I can tell you out of experience. When responding to an RFP or RFI, if I am the service provider, I will go by an assumption, right, that this particular operations I can manage with these kind of skills and this would be the final number. When I do a pilot and I know that I have to run this, it can be genuine also, right? I come to know that, no, this is X plus Y. Now, instead of 10, I need to have 12 guys or 14 guys or 16 guys. So now it is up to the service provider and customer engagement, right? What the understanding is. Again, here your type of contracts come into play. So if that's a, if you remember, and if that's a fixed price one, customer can clearly say, I need this deliverable, and managing it or the requirement of resources is not my heading, right? But if that is not the case, right, and it is subjective that we would we agree to deliver A, B, C, A, right, which is where the service provider can come up saying the C portion is not what I had understood, right? So when you are losing control, the vendor can, because he has the upper hand, make that demand, and this is one of the key risks in the engagement. And important to note that this engagement is geographically distant, right? You, it's not the vendor is in the same city, right, available for a face-to-face discussion and thrashing out of the issue. It's primarily a geographical distant nation, and then it's kind of you are there on voice or video calls at the max, right? So this is one of the key risks, and which should be there in the risk tracker, right? The inability to engage face to face with the vendor can, I would say, give a higher weightage to this risk. But this should be there at the back of the mind, because as I mentioned, if there is 100% dependency, then there is a, if the contract is not tightly done, there is a chance that the vendor may, depends on how the service provider or vendor is, he may start making unwanted demands, right? Let's look at the next risk, which is loss of innovation, right? So innovation, as you know, this is not something which is I would say standard deliverable. You can't ask a service provider to deliver innovation, or an organization can't ask an employee and say tomorrow you deliver innovation, right? So innovation has a lot to do with the nurturing of the talent and providing an atmosphere, right, where the right skilled guys put their thought processes and innovate, right? Organizations like Google, right, they are largely known to have setups or offices that have a different culture, right? So that's deliberate, right? It's done more to create that environment for people. So at the customer end, say a manufacturing organization, they may have a, I would say, a specific lab kind of setup, or probably an innovation center, right, where key SMEs or people work on further different aspects of the deliverables. Now, say an organization has such an innovative or I would say innovation lab setup, right, and has then decided to outsource, right. What will happen is this outsourcing deal will curb such an environment, because now the deliverables are expected from the service provider. You would no longer want to, as a customer, keep that setup, because you are not sure in this outsourcing engagement whether these those particular key SMEs employees will be retained, right, or they will be rebadged to the service provider, or they may be transferred to some other division. So outsourcing generally hits these kind of activities, and loss of innovation is I would say another risk in outsourcing. Let us look at the next risk, which is loss of organizational trust. Now why this has come up when you are talking and you are talking of organizational trust? What happens is, as we have seen, the outsourcing decision comes down strategically from the top, right? So once the senior management have decided to outsource, and there is a, I would say, a huge layer right from the senior management to the shop floor worker or the guy who is delivering on ground, right? So communication passing those levels, you will agree that there's also when communication, same communication happens multiple layers, there's loss of content, right? So the communication reaching the last level of I would say the last leg in the process, or the shop floor worker, if you may want to call, it will be kind of some dictative. For him, it would be like, and if you heard this in the coffee floors or coffee meetings, tea meetings of the shop floor workers, it's like the organization is outsourcing, right? They would not be clear, or for them the message would not have details in terms of what is the level of outsourcing happening, what is the timeline, which particular line of business is happening. So those details obviously won't get shared in a normal communication. So the fear of retrenchment would be prime, right? What next about our jobs, right? Will we even have jobs, or this will be outsourced? There's also the fear of rebadging, right? Because say if you are handling a legacy process and are critical to it, and if that particular process is getting outsourced completely to a service provider, you will have that fear itself that I may have to now work for as part of a different organization. In US, I'm in US currently under a US organization, but I'll have to now work for this Indian MNC and comply to their company levels. Or questions like what next is going to happen, right? Some roles may have the issue of dual reporting also, right? That you report internally to the organization also, as well as you report to some, I would say, structure in the service provider org also. So this is another key risk in outsourcing, which is loss of organizational trust. It is basically where the communication to the last mile people is at high level, and these I would say feelings of fear of job loss is in play. Coming to the fourth risk, now this is more to do with cost. Higher than expected transaction cost, right? And unforeseen expenses, right? So what are we referring to here? This is more of, I would say, coming from the service provider end, whereas I mentioned earlier, he's citing that his assumption was wrong, right? Now, when the service provider is responding, as I said, to the request for proposals or request for quotations, it is primarily a written document, right? And most of the workings would be estimates based on assumptions, right? They would assume that the setup is in a particular manner and it would take them A, B, C to deliver, right? Where there, so this may still, the assumption may be good or work well in generic environments, but where you have legacy setups, right? Legacy setups which are not common everywhere. So the exact estimation won't be there. Like, let me give you an example of a legacy setup where, say, you have the earlier AX400 IBM huge machines being used, right? And you have those skills being required for the process. Now, if the service provider has not done due diligence to understand what kind of infra needs to be handled, what kind of skills, factoring for a normal Windows skill resource and a high level AX400 or a Unix resource, there's a huge difference in the I would say cost for those resources. So it would be, and because this would be a multiplier, it is not one resource or for a day. It would be a multiplier for the setup and for the entire duration. So the cost difference becomes huge, right? So that's one pointer here. The other is certain stuff would be known only when a pilot is carried out or a testing is done, right? So this would be, it's like before a final deliverable of a process, and let's say it's more of animation stuff or probably more of clipping out, say, let's look at a simple process of clipping out of images, right? You have an entire gazette or theoretically I would say a legal document, and where you want to extract key information on certain products or offices, right? So what needs to be done is that page may have a certain layout. You may have information which is half in a page, half in the next page. So the deliverable would want or expect that any information is covered in a single clip, right? So what is essential is these two clips need to be then merged together. Now this merging may not be easy, or may say require a third party application or specialized application which is at a cost. Now this won't be known until you have done a pilot, right? For you, the assumption would be yes, a PDF file would be provided to you, 1000 pages, and from this file you may have content related to say a particular trademark, Coca-Cola, and it would be in around, and at an average take a 5% I would say average. So you would assume you would need to make 50 clips out of that particular 1000, and then you factor a time taken for one clip, say it's like 10 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour, whatever, and you multiply and do an estimate. But when you actually test or do it, and then you come to know that yes, the clips which are in two different pages, right, those need double the time, they need another application to be merged. So these are something which can be known only in a pilot. So this cost is also something which was unforeseen or unbudgeted, right? Now these kind of stuff keeps on coming up during the course of operations. So having so this is another I would say risk that we have touched upon in terms of increase in the transaction cost. Let us look at the next one, which is false commitments, right? So why this is a risk, and this is classic to sales, as we know. So for getting a deal or getting a particular order, there may be false commitments. I would, if you want to refrain from using the word false, there may be commitments which may not be easy to deliver but done to get the deal, right? For example, say I as a customer I'm looking at outsourcing a particular activity of say upgrade of the laptop OS version from Windows 7 to Windows 10, right? I want to outsource this activity. Now I have 1000 end users or 1000 such laptops, and I want to outsource this upgrade activity to a third party vendor, right? What will happen is you will have say probably two or three vendors coming up to do that job, right, ready to do it. How will you differentiate? Most of them say maybe on the same price point as well, right? One of the service provider, he gives you an aggressive timeline, right? He says we have done this kind of jobs and we can do this in 3 months of time frame, right? So for you it's like wow, I can get this done in 3 months time, so I am compliant in the fourth month. So what happens is now this is a individual vendor commitment. It's not like all vendors are in the same forum and debate this out. So you for you it's a very very plus point or a brownie point, because the others have committed 9 months, right, 6 months bare minimum. So you, if you have not done diligence or if you have not have experience of any of these process, for you it will be like fine, this is the vendor to go to, right? But on ground, if you know for a single laptop like the entire I would say formatting, putting back the data, it's say a 6 hour job for one piece, actual time taken would run into say minimum 5 to 6 months, right? But vendor may have committed for the purpose of getting the order, right? So false commitments are there in play. They are generally there. So I gave you a very simple example, but you have larger deals, like, right, larger outsourcing deals where you are committing of running entire end-to-end operations. You can commit there probably see on the number or quality of resources as well. You can say that I will have four CCNAs in my networking team. I will have Azure certified guys in the cloud team, at least bare minimum three. The vendor may want to commit, right? And these commitments may not be met, which is where the engagement tip starts coming into play, right? So again, it's purely, I would say, for the outsourcer, it is pure research which will help your customer references, which will help you to understand whether this particular service provider keeps his commitments, right, or others to his schedule. So that's where you gather feedback for the vendor assessment, right? And for sure, doing a trial run or a pilot prior to live operation, that helps in bringing clarity to the situation for both the customer as well as the service provider. So false commitments is another of the risk in outsourcing. Let us look at the next risk, which is quality, right? Again, why a poor quality is a risk? As I mentioned, as I gave you the paper example, it is what was assumed on what according to you is a particular quality of, right? And if that is not specified in terms of citing that you need so much microns thick of paper, right? Classic example is the disposable plastic bags available in India, right? You have a standard by norms now 50 micron thick plastic, but if you've seen the other stuff available with the regular vendors or shops, the low end ones, they have plastic bags which are so thin, but they continue to use it, right? For them, it's like it is a bag, right? But it's not of the quality, correct? So again, in this kind of outsourcing engagements, when you are asking for quality in the deliverable, let us refer back to that clipping example, right? So what can be quality there? One of the aspect may be that if I have a snippet from a PDF, a content which has come from two different pages, right? Same content, same reference to the single, I would say, vendor. Getting two dips for one particular required image, that's poor quality, right? Right? Again, getting two different images which are just pasted one below the other without having a proper link, that's poor quality, right? So quality aspect becomes critical, right? And generally, what situations you will have low quality? It will be where the vendor has not done a proper cost estimate, right? And he has quoted a low price, and then you've gone by that lowest cost, right? For that clipping example, if vendor is not in a position to buy that application which is required to merge those two clips, it's an issue, right? So it is important, again, the right it is I've very categorically mentioned that one should not use cost as the only factor, right? You should check for the quality standards also of the service provider and ensure or validate this in your final delivery. So this poor quality is another risk of poor quality remains there in the deliverable. Let us move ahead to the next risk, right? Now, lack of domain expertise, right? What is the risk that this brings up? So if you have a legacy setup, as I mentioned, or a setup which is non-regular, right, and it needs certain specific skills, right? So there is a risk of unavailability of not having that domain expertise with the service provider. While you may clarify that this particular process needs to be outsourced or run, the service provider may also understand, yes, this is what needs to be done and he's okay to do it. But if he has not done proper due diligence and he has not found out right, there is a particular component or a particular application in that entire process which needs a certain understanding, there can be a gap, right? So assessment of the service provider, especially where you have uncommon or legacy skill, becomes important. That is the only way you can mitigate this particular risk, right? And as I gave examples, this is more in the cases where you have old setups, right? Setups which are running from quite some time. There's no upgrades done, right? And you are still going by a particular skill set required to run that process. So that's on the lack of domain expertise. Going to the next risk. This risk is primarily at the service provider end. And what is the risk? The risk is high attrition rate, right? For sure, handling a process needs a huge number of resources, right? And especially when you have a regular process, it's the same kind of work to be done daily, right? And then resources or employees get tired of doing the same stuff over a long period of time. And attrition is one of the risks obviously there in outsourcing, right? But high attrition is a bigger risk, and which is why we've used the word higher and not just attrition, right? What is happening is when you are outsourcing, you have transitioned knowledge, that knowledge is gone to the team there, and the team is performing, and the team now has knowledge, and they are doing that, they are doing the deliverable. And say from that 50 member team, you have a sudden attrition of 20-30 guys, right? So that huge number of attrition can impact the production, it can also impact the quality. And which is why, if you remember, we touched upon having a proper training set up at the service provider end. What is the kind of training and development done? How the service provider maintains continuity, right? How does he, and these are factors for mitigating this risk. How is continuity maintained? How the service provider builds an environment or culture where the attrition rate is pretty low, right? A low attrition rate is a healthy sign in terms of employees staying with the organizations for a longer time, employees delivering processes. Again, here it does not mean that those employees do that process forever. What essentially happens is resources who are, say, I would say, who've done this kind of process for a couple of years and need a change, they flag it up in the organization. The organization does a smooth transition by getting a new resource, training him, and then gradually replacing, right? So mitigation of this risk, again, touch points are: check what the kind of attrition is there at service provider end, and when you are doing those floor walks or site visits, check the level of experience also in the teams, right? If you find the team has a large number of fresher or unexperienced guys, then it's an alarming state, right? For sure, the key guys, the team leads, the SMEs, subject matter experts, these guys need to have longer experience, and I would say longer experience with that company as well. Now, those are good signs that should be looked at. Let us look at the next risk, which is linked to the political and economic situation. So the risk of politics and economics, right? What happens is, based on the political ruling, there are tie-ups between the countries, right? And political instability in a country, it often leads to risk down to the different organizations or establishments, right? We've seen classical cases more in terms of the African continent, right? Countries like Ethiopia and all, they have a lot of political, I would say, churn or turmoil. There is high probability of change of political guard, which may not necessarily form part of the scheduled change. For example, in India, you have elections happening 5 years, but there that's not the case, right? It can be in terms of the opposition gaining power and wanting to contest or challenge the ruling party. So the political stability becomes important. It is also important because what happens is you have an entire structure in politics. You have the leading ministers handling portfolios, and a change can also lead to a change in the portfolio handling and the way things are handled. So changes in terms of laws, employment laws, labor laws, changes in tax, right? Government will want to control tariff. Classic example is introduction of GST in India, right? Which was not the case earlier, right? So earlier organizations did not have that particular portion of tax apportioned under a GST heading. They had a different tax. So these things impact the commercial construct, right, of the engagement. And end of the day, any service provider would be in business to make money or profit, and which is how he will sustain. Otherwise, it would be difficult for him also to sustain, right? So these are risks coming out of the political and economic situation, and these are, I would say, as I mentioned here, they are largely unforeseen. Like, you cannot predict that tomorrow the finance minister will change the tax structure for so and so industries, right? Kind of unforeseen, but needs to be handled as part of the engagement. Let us look at the next risk, which is a business risk. Now, this risk is more from the customer side, right, and even the service provider. For the customer side, if I have a change in scope, right, I need to, I am planning to do a different line of business or do a different product offering, right, and now I don't want to spend, I would say, 100% of this product activity, but you just do a partial 20% and link it to a new process which is 80%, right? So this can be a risk, because that will mean a change to the entire process flow, the understanding. So any change in scope can lead to a business risk. A change in volume, right? Say the steady deliverable agreed is 50 per day, right? And there's a change in volume in terms of that going to 500 or dripping down to 5, right? An extreme change can be a business risk. Change in legal environment also adds to that risk, right? You can have cases of contract termination which are premature, right? It's like, as I mentioned, an organization running a process, and let us assume it has been acquired by a third organization, and they no longer want to run that process because that process is duplicated. So that acquisition may warrant termination of contract prematurely, not the end of the term. That leads to a business risk. Again, classic example is the change of the apex body or the guard at the top level. The change of anybody in the CXO team, right, the CEO, CFO, any key decision maker can pose a risk to the business. So these are some of the points covered under business risk. Thank you